Our messed up podcast schedule continues. Pitch into Contact is back. My name is Rich. The day of recording is Tuesday, July 30th, the year of our Lord 2019. We are less than 24 hours away from MLB's trade deadline. My MCM got traded. Marcus Stroman's gone, so I'm depressed. Lots to discuss today. We haven't done an episode of Pitch into Contact in a hot minute. But as always, I'm joined by Payton Trawick. Trawick, how's it going, dude?
Hey, I'm good, bro. How are you?
Living my best life right now, man. I'm moving out tomorrow. I can't fucking wait. I hate St. Catharines so much.
Yeah?
Dude, I just got... I just went for sushi with a few friends. They decided to celebrate me leaving them with sushi. And on our way to sushi, it's like two blocks away from my house. We've seen like 10 crackheads just on our way to sushi. And that's St. Catharines in a nutshell for you. It's disgusting down here. But
that sounds brutal.
Dude, how's your summer going? We haven't talked.
It's going good, man. I just got back from coaching this summer and,
how was that?
It was good, man. It's a good experience. I say the big thing for me is just kind of like learning how you like different programs do things. I mean, granted, like there's only so many ways you can, implement like different things. And it's just really cool to see like different ideologies and all that come together just for, 8 to 10 weeks, maybe 11 to 12, depending on the league. So it was really interesting how to do it.
What was your exact position? Like coaching what, like pitching coach?
No, not per se. So I did, I worked kind of just all around, a lot of which was with the pitchers, but that wasn't like my actual title. And I did like all of, like the advanced analytics and all that kind of stuff. So
that's cool. Okay, so there's no like official title for that. You're just doing a little bit of everything, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much, just broadening my horizons.
That sounds cute. That's actually
very,
funny.
Very cute.
There we go. Like it's funny because I'm starting to work with a baseball development group sometime soon. In September.
And, awesome! What are you gonna be doing?
I'm just gonna be doing some pitch design stuff. It's gonna be sick. Like, dude, it's a sick facility down there. It's in Scarborough. It's about 20 minutes away from Toronto. It's fun.
Nice.
But before I get into that, let's welcome our guest. He's been on Pitch into Contact before. It was my second favorite podcast episode of all time. Danny Samet, fresh off 14 hours of sleep. How's it going, dude?
Oh man, it's going great. I slept for 14 hours last night. I just watched that Bash Bros Netflix musical, so my brain is in the right place, ready to juice up and rip some pod and hopefully get to the number one spot.
There we go. Wait, you just seen that?
So I've been on tour for the last like 6 weeks, and it between awful phone reception and venue Wi-Fi and just a lack of time, it's really hard to watch Netflix stuff. No. Plus, like basically this last tour, it was like a big amphitheater tour type thing. So like I didn't actually have to sell merch every day. So I was just kind of waiting for them to tell me that I needed to restock them. And I just watched a lot of baseball. It was pretty ideal.
That's sweet. Wait, so how does your gig actually work, dude?
So
you just sell merch, essentially?
So it depends on the gig. Like for Thrice, I do merch and I help with the tour management type stuff. So I'm the assistant tour manager and merch guy. So that means I help with like some logistical stuff and like making sure that we get all of our like rider stuff on time and that there's ice on the bus and stuff. And then as far as the merch goes, I help design this. Well, I don't physically put pen to paper, but I kind of conceptualize designs and then do some here's the sabermetrics of music. I do some projections for how much we'll sell every day, and then I make orders, and then I make sure that everything is accounted for correctly and we get paid by the venues what we're supposed to and all that good stuff.
Okay, that's actually pretty sweet.
It's a good time. I enjoy it.
There we go. But I'm guessing it's just pretty tiring being on tour.
Yeah, it's definitely my days on this, like even though they weren't as physically demanding as like regular club tours are, because like I wasn't actually out there on my feet all day. I would wake up at 8:30. My work day would start at 9:30 and I wasn't done working until 1 a.m. So they were long days. So that's why after 6 weeks of 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. days, I slept for 14 hours. But yeah, it was a good time.
Wow. So now you're back in Ohio?
Back in Ohio for a month. I leave again September 8th, so plenty of red leg baseball to watch and podcasts to record.
There we go. Hopefully I'll finish my thesis by then. And
I don't know, man. Mike's not optimistic.
Really?
I'm kidding. He just always makes jokes. I always make jokes at him about how he needs to stop going on vacation and help you. And then he always makes jokes about you. So it's great.
That sounds about right. I think I'm like 99% certain that Mike's actually even just muted me on Twitter.
Dude, he ghosted me in Toronto.
Oh, that's horrible.
Dude, it's like the worst Tinder date ever. We were supposed to we were gonna hang out and talk about sports, and then he ghosted me. He had a meeting last minute.
Oh, okay,
he ghosted me.
Yeah. Tell you've been in Toronto, and I've been telling Treyway to get a passport so he can get to Toronto. Do you like Toronto? Because I think it's awesome.
Toronto is one of my favorite cities that I've ever been to. It's really, really incredible. It's like all of the positives of a New York or LA minus most of the negatives.
Well, you know what LA has that Toronto doesn't? Kawhi Leonard.
That was too soon.
Hmm. Although here's the thing with me, I don't even care about Kawhi anymore. I don't care about him. He got me what I wanted.
Yeah.
I miss Marcus Stroman.
Got me what I want.
Dude. Okay, I'm gonna cry. Marcus Stroman has been my MCM for about 5 years now. Kawhi just kind of came and went like a Tinder date. It just comes in and leaves, and you never hear of him again.
Why do we always end up talking about Tinder when I'm on the show?
I don't know, man. It's like Pete Horner residuals. Shout out to Pete, by the way. He just completely ditched us. He became big time. He started coaching in a collegiate summer league, and he's gone.
Gone but not forgotten. R.I.P.
Partially forgotten. Peyton, you gotta make it down to Toronto. Come on, man.
I mean, I'm going to at some point. I don't know. Money's starting to get a little tight. I think I just lost one of my jobs today, so my money's a little tight.
We're gonna talk about that. Speaking of money, my boss has to pay me still. I haven't gotten paid. I was supposed to get paid today. Boss, if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning, please pay me. I need to pay rent for my new place.
I wasn't even talking about that job. I was talking about my one here.
Well, then, on that note, it's time to talk some baseball. We got the MLB trade deadline coming up tomorrow. I believe it's 4 p.m. Not a lot has happened. The Jays made a couple moves. We moved Marcus Stroman. We moved David Phelps today, but I don't think anybody actually noticed. Payne, what else has happened so far? I've been working my thesis. I don't know what's going on.
That's about it. Trevor Bauer threw a ball over the batter's eye in center field in Kansas City a day after I was there, so I was pretty upset about that.
Soon to be a Cincinnati Red Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, I've been seeing some stuff where he's getting traction, especially with Cincinnati. I don't think he'll get dealt, though, just because, they're so close to being a first in their division, so they could definitely make a playoff push. I think Cleveland will get a bat, though. I could see that. Maybe a Justin Smoke or
He's going to the Reds. I've been trying to will this into existence as far back as 2 years ago, but I'm sensing something's going to happen. He's exactly the kind of player that the Reds should get at, the Reds should go after. And the Reds are one of the few teams that can provide both current MLB guys and futures a Taylor Trammell or something. I'm going to will it into existence. We are the media. We create the narrative. I'm creating this narrative that Ken Rosenthal already created 20 minutes ago, but it's going to happen.
Trammell's having a down year, though. Isn't he hitting 230 or something like that?
He is a Dennis favorite batting average.
Do what?
A Dennis favorite batting average.
Oh, yeah.
But is there some hometown bias there with the Cincinnati Reds? Here's my thing with the Reds. I love half their roster just as individuals, but they kind of suck.
No, exactly. I completely agree. I think especially going into the year, expectations were so high just because the meme of the guy with the stick poking something, just saying, come on, do something. That's kind of been the Reds minds, but Reds fans for the last 5 years now, just because they waited too long to trade most of the guys they needed to trade. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's enough pieces to justify making I wouldn't say that they made a hard push for 2019, but mm-hmm. I think that there's enough pieces to justify making that super hard firm push for next year.
Well, do you think they have a chance to win the division if they do that
next year or this year?
Well, Trevor Bauer's only on a 1 year deal, so
he's there every
year.
Yeah, he has one more year.
I think Bauer has. Are you sure?
I'm 95% sure that he's under contract through 2020.
You guys entertain the fans, and I'm going to make a quick Google search right here.
All right,
I was actually looking that up too.
Because Because the whole reason they want to trade him isn't because they're trying to quote-unquote sell, but because he's going to be due up after next year. And the thing with Bauer is that he's going to get a fat payday in arbitration, so it's not like he's under like a team-friendly deal. It's just under control for one more year, and he's going to get
a couple more year R. So, yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And do you guys – okay. I don't know if you guys know about this, but have you heard that story how Trevor Bauer is never going to take – a long term.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah, that's exactly what I was referencing to, because he only does 1 year deals, so like, you're not even guaranteed.
Like, I think Trevor Bauer is awesome, and even though he's having a little bit of a down year, I think the best of Trevor Bauer is yet to come. And I think a lot of MLB teams think that too. Like, do you think he's actually, when like it comes time to sit down and think about your future, do you think he's actually going to take a 1 year deal?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, especially given the landscape of free agency, until the players union and owners sit down and kind of figure this out, I don't think that there's an incentive there, really. Yeah. I mean, teams clearly aren't going to hand out fat contracts like they used to, like at least normally. If I'm Trevor Bauer, why not just be a mercenary? Say, I'll come pitch for you for 1 year. Give me $25 million. That's honestly not the worst idea.
Can we talk about how there were people saying that his trade value was non-existent after he threw that ball in the corner field wall? Like, what kind of stupid opinion is that? Like, who's going to like, oh, I don't want a guy with a 3-7 who has a 3-1 strikeout to walk, has a 1-2 whip. Like, yeah, no, we don't want him. He threw a ball over the center field wall one time because he's frustrated.
Dude, he cleared the fucking center field wall.
Long toss, baby. He knew he was getting pulled, and he needed to keep his work going.
Awesome. Like, I'm on Twitter, like, looking at reactions from it. Like, everyone's giving him, like, a ton of heat for doing it, and I'm just like...
Which I don't understand. Yeah.
I get it, because you're showing up your manager at that point, because, like, he's coming to take you out of the game, and not the most professional thing in the world. But, I mean... kind of funny. Makes baseball fun.
Yeah, it's definitely funny. And like, my whole thing on it, like, do I think he should have done that? Definitely not. It was like absolutely not cool. However, at the same time, all of the people that are like kind of coming at him about it, you can't on one hand say that you want baseball to have more emotion and you want more bat flips and you want more celebrations and then get pissed when somebody shows emotion on the other side of the coin. That's called being a hypocrite. And we're not hypocrites.
Yeah, and Bauer genuinely had a really rough outing. Like, a lot of things didn't go his way that day.
Yeah.
And he was pissed. Like, I thought it was great. Like, that's something I would never do. I would never have the balls to do it. But it's something I would love to see someone else do, and Trevor Bauer did it, and I think it's awesome.
Well, also, the dude doesn't drink, so, like, how's he going to blow off steam besides just throwing a baseball 800 yards?
He's going to go throw his drive-line balls for, like, 3 hours after the order, just in the center field padding.
Dude, that's exhilarating. But like, we're not really buying that Trevor Bauer gets moved before the deadline. Especially like at this point, I really thought the Twins were going to make a push for Marcus Stroman. Obviously, that didn't work. I think the Twins just really, really needed an extra arm, and they didn't get it. They're about games up on Cleveland. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold that, especially with Jose Ramirez is heating up. I think the Indians are about to play the best baseball of their season. I don't know if Minnesota is going to be able to hold on to that top spot in the division.
So let me ask you guys this, not just to kind of switch gears off of, this kind of ties into the whole Minnesota thing. Do you think Matthew Boyd gets dealt from Detroit, or do you think they stand pat and hold on to him?
I think they should. I can see Boyd even being moved to like Houston. I think Houston's that team that's going to, like, make a big splash in the next 24 hours. I don't know if it's going to be getting, like, a Bumgarner. I don't think Trevor Bauer's getting moved. But like,
I don't think Bumgarner's going to get dealt either.
I think there might
be. I don't think he will.
I don't think he will, but I think there might be a little chance there. So, like, if they make a big, massive splash on a guy like that or like a Matthew Boyd, I think that's the team that's going to make it. I don't know if Minnesota's going to do it, but I think Minnesota should.
I mean, we've seen that Houston's not scared of going after it and making a big move. I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, especially this year, it's like the Red Sox kind of came into their own last year, and all the potential that had kind of been waiting to happen, it all happened. And they've got a lot of competition this year. If I'm them, I definitely try and get a starter like that.
Danny, I got a question. I know Richard's answer and Richard knows mine, but I'm going to ask you, what do you think of Kyle Tucker?
I was about to say something about Tucker.
I think that he's an interesting guy. I think that he's very similar to like a Clint Frazier type in the sense that like kind of prospect, but up, able to be traded, but for what? What's his value actually at? It's an interesting question. If I'm a team making a move with the Astros, he's certainly somebody that I would want back in that just to see what's there.
You know, and it's funny you say that because neither of us, which I mean, I might be misspeaking for Richard, but I think either of us are really a fan of Kyle Tucker. So the fact that the Astros have been like really reluctant to trade him is kind of mind-boggling to me just because like I don't see the same amount of potential there as everybody else.
I mean, I agree.
If you're going to go after a guy like Matthew Boyd that has, you know, a couple years of control after this and is having, you know, ERA-wise, he's not having that good of a year. But if you look at some more like in-depth stuff, like, there's a lot of good things going for him this year. And you know, the fact that he plays in Detroit doesn't really help him that much either. I don't know. I think if I'm Loon Howe and I'm sitting there and they want Kyle Tucker and then a couple like younger prospect, I think I give that Whitley off the table, but I think I could part ways with Tucker.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And like looking at like that comp I made with Clint Frazier, I'm wondering why the Yankees aren't of the same mindset. Like, get rid of, like, make the move. Like, if you're the Blue Jays, wouldn't you rather have had a Clint Frazier headline package than you got some high ceiling back, but as far as I don't know a ton about these guys, but like the floor seems to be pretty low as well.
Do you see a Clint Frazier? Like, okay, so if the Yankees were to try to make a trade for Stroman, like hypothetically before he got dealt, do you think Clint Frazier would have been in that package, or you think they would have went a little lower than him and Garcia?
I mean, the fact that I think they would have tried to go lower, but if I'm the Yankees, if I'm the Astros, Frazier and Tucker at the start of my discussion.
Mm-hmm. And just like to make a quick point on Tucker, like the thing with I think Tucker is a fourth outfielder on the MLB.
Yeah,
I agree. Same with Frazier, in my opinion.
Yeah, same thing with Frazier. I think these guys are very, very toolsy, and they're performing in the minors. I don't think it carries over to the MLB level. And the big thing with these guys is, like, the Astros and the Yankees have had plenty of opportunities to give these dudes shine, and there's a reason why they haven't. Like, nobody told the Houston Astros to go after Michael Brantley. Nobody told the Astros to go re-sign Reddick, you know?
Exactly.
Reddick. Like, if you have a guy like Kyle Tucker who looks as ready to go as possible.
Who you believe in. And and I think the belief key is key here. Like, will he hit? I mean, yeah, he'll hit. But is he going to have a year better than what Michael Brantley's had? No.
No, exactly.
And not at his peak. I don't think he'll ever be that kind of player. And I think that is why – you know, you didn't see him, you know, make the roster this year. That's why you still haven't really seen him there that much. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it might be partially, too, there might be a sense of, like, well, what will the fans think if we deal him? Yeah. Even though, like, most people might not have a full scope of, like, what Tucker's ceiling is and, you know, where he kind of fits in their mold and all that. So, it's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. And in terms of Frazier, there's literally no room for him on that.
Absolutely not.
That team, and it's not just for this year. It's for like years to come. Yeah. Like, Judge is going to be there for a while. Stanton's going to be there for a while. They just locked up Hicks, who's pretty. He's pretty good. Like, they don't have room for this dude. Like, you can get a Rachai Davis anytime you want to get a fourth outfielder if you really need one.
By this time tomorrow, Clint Frazier will be a Diamondback.
Really? I back that.
I think so. I think they go get Robbie Ray because they got to have a starter. Like, they have to have a starter.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. I think Robbie Ray is a guy who will probably get moved if any other pitcher gets moved.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like Bumgarner's off the board, you know, but so Bumgarner's gone. If they don't come off, if Detroit didn't come off Boyd, you know, Boyd's off the table. Past that, you've got
Tanner Roark.
Yeah, Tanner Roark, and I don't know if he's really that arm that's going to put you over the top. Zach Wheeler, maybe I could see a Zach Wheeler, but he's not having that good of a year.
A guy who I actually think might get moved, it might be Aaron Sanchez as well on the Jays. Like, it seems like the Jays are trying to just get rid of everybody who was around for the 2015-2016. And, like, Sanchez just had a couple pretty good outings, has one of the highest curveball spin rates. I don't think he's going to be a starter if he goes to a playoff team, but I think like, I think the Houston Astros would be such a perfect fit for a guy like Aaron Sanchez coming out of that bullpen. It just, I don't really know what we can get for a guy like him who has been just a trash can for
totally the
entire year, you know? So,
but like, looking at a Sanchez and a Roark, kind of those like lower, quote unquote, lower tier like starters available. That's an interesting thing you said about him coming out of the pen. Cause I mean, most deep playoff runs in the last couple years, there's been a theme where you have like kind of a middle of the road starter, like an Anthony Eovaldi last year, like this Roark and Sanchez comp here, like that they come over and they kind of hold down that fourth, fifth slot in the rotation on a contender for the rest of the regular season. And then once rosters constrict and you are kind of running guys out there on short rest, then it's a very valuable commodity to have a guy who can come in like Eovaldi did and just kind of mow down everybody for a while.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like a guy like Sanchez, he has really good stuff. It's just, he's been struggling to put it all together throughout a start this season. Like, he's had his finger problems for the past like 10 years, it seems now. Like you can just see the fastball doesn't have as much life anymore, but like his curveball is devastating. Like his changeups are kind of inconsistent, but sometimes it flashes plus. Like you put that in the bullpen come playoff time, like tell the dude to get you like 3 to 6 outs. Especially like I think Houston works magic with pitchers who just you move that kind of dude with that kind of stuff into the Houston bullpen, I think that's going to be legit.
Well, so that brings up that point. I was wondering what your guys' thoughts were on this. If you're the Houston Astros, do you potentially pay a little bit more for a starter than another team would just to get him because you're so confident in your ability to kind of coach them up and get them going the way that they should be used?
And it's funny you ask that. So with a guy like Trevor Bauer, just pure example here, they haven't really been tied to a whole lot with Houston. I say no, just because he is very, I'm not going to say set in his ways, but there's not as much potential upside there as compared to you go get a guy like Matthew Boyd, just who doesn't have those same, I'm not going to say the same resources, but the same.
He basically already is an Astros pitcher, just pitches for the Indians.
Exactly. So there's not really a whole lot there that you can, manipulate and try to grow compared to Boyd. He's got a couple more years of control. And then on top of that, like that dude could absolutely flourish if he went to Houston. So, I mean, I think it depends on the arm. I would say Boyd would be their most ideal fit. Just based
not Syndergaard?
I mean, I could see Syndergaard, but I worry about his health too much, me personally.
Sure.
I don't know if Syndergaard's going to get dealt.
The Mets are so stupid.
I think Wheeler will before
Wheeler.
But then if they don't get anything back, like defensively, I brought this up on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think I saw like Ken Rosenthal or someone else did too. Like the Mets defense, horrible. And Stroman is a predominantly ground ball pitcher. So like you're going to have to upgrade your defense somewhere if you want that to work. Could you see them flipping Syndergaard for maybe some prospects of defense help, maybe. But, I mean, there's not anything there that really makes sense. You'd have to take a really low-end trade on Syndergaard to get what you actually need and not what you want.
So, and it also seems like they kind of want a lot for Syndergaard.
Yeah.
Like, they want two, like, legit top prospect guys for Syndergaard. And, I mean, like, as a Jays fan, I understood that Stroman's was gonna be dealt. Like, I really didn't want him to be dealt because I really wanted him to be a part of the future because the Jays have just so many great kids coming up. To get another 19-year-old, like, sure, why not? But I just don't see the fit with the Mets. Like, the Jays got two good prospects. Like, I really like the younger kid we got, Simeon Woods Richardson. Insane stuff. Like Eno Saris came on the radio today or yesterday on Toronto radio, and he was like, a lot of people he's spoken to say that if they redid the 2018 draft, that Richardson would be a top 10 pick. And like, you look at the kid's stuff, he's still growing. He throws 93, touches 97, has like a hammer curveball. Like, that's legit. And he's 19. K was a guy who pitched in the futures game. Like, he has some stuff, some okay. Pretty good stuff, Like, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but it just doesn't make sense to me with the Mets for all the reasons. Their team sucks. This dude has a year left on his contract. why do you need Marcus Stroman? Like,
nothing about the Mets ever makes sense.
It doesn't make sense, you know? And like, if Marcus Stroman complains about the Blue Jays, which I'm sure many times he has, like, he's going to the Mets right now. Like, that's just seems like a disaster waiting to happen. I have no idea what the plan is here with the Mets. Like, they got Edwin Diaz, they might flip him. They're looking to send Syndergaard somewhere for prospects, but then they send away prospects for Marcus Stroman, who just doesn't fit what that team is doing. So, like, I don't really understand that trade.
Well, their GM is a agent. He is not a GM, so that's an interesting angle for him to go about doing things.
Do you think that maybe the possibility of them extending Stroman, given that he's from that area, has something to do with it? I mean, I know it's a long shot, but I'm just trying to think of any possible way to defend that.
I mean, to me, Stroman seems like a pretty loyal dude. Like, he wanted to get extended by the Jays, like, from day one to, like, the day before he got traded. Right. I think if he enjoys, like, just being around the team there, I think he'd want to get extended. Like, he'd want to remain with that team. He seems like that type of dude to me. But, I mean, like, what I still just don't really know what to do.
I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but just with, like, how Noah Syndergaard's been on social media, like, kind of making jokes about his trade availability and stuff like that, I'm wondering if Mets players take their front office seriously. Like, I'm just really confused by, like, literally everything they've done. Like, if any single baseball person out there said that the Cano-Diaz trade would look good at any point, they're wrong. Like, they're lying. Like, that trade was stupid from the second it happened. The Stroman trade doesn't make sense. I just don't get anything that they're doing.
Yeah, and I mean, to add to that Cano trade initially, like, Treyway and I, we think Jared Kelenic is going to be the next Mike Trout. So just seeing him just get flipped
for 100%, yeah.
Yeah, for to see him get flipped for a dude who's an aging second baseman, probably will be a first baseman, and Edwin Diaz, who got run into the ground last year, the past couple of years by the Mariners, you're like, what are they doing right now? But here's a question I got for you guys, and this is just something I've been noticing with Blue Jays Twitter a lot after the trade. A lot of people are very unhappy that Marcus Stroman couldn't fetch the Jays like a top 100 prospect, you know, because we've seen all the rumors about a Garcia from the Yankees, or there's been even a few rumors about the Jays going after a couple guys from the Braves farm system, and they have a ton of dudes who are in the top 100. And then after all the smoke clears, you get two guys who are top 10 prospects for the Mets. The Mets don't really have a great farm system, but they're not top 100 guys. So my question for you guys is like, even like a couple years ago, we see teams that are so comfortable moving those top tier prospects for a big arm or an all-star player. It seems like nowadays teams are very confident with their top prospects that they just cannot move them for anything. Like, if a Justin Verlander comes along, sure. But like anything below it, like, no, untouchable. Like, does that the vibe that you guys get nowadays?
I think so. And I think a lot of that is coming with the ability that teams are having now with developing young talent, especially on the pitching side. You know, because you have all these different things like Driveline, just a perfect example, like where they're doing hitters and pitchers now, and you have guys that are going there training the offseason, you know, where if it's prospects, like a guy like Nate Pearson, perfect example. Like, and he was high on you guys' board, but once he'd really started like developing is when he started to take off up you guys' prospect ranks. You know, it's just stuff like that. I think that the ability to develop now and to have more of a, I'm not going to say sure sense of what a guy is going to be, but a more, I'll say a better idea of like what a prospect ceiling is and how hard it'll be for them to get there is more prevalent now. And now that we know that information, it makes it harder to trade those guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like, even with Stroman, like, he's not coming, he's not going into free agency. This isn't his walk year. He still has a year after this, but it just seems like there's so much hesitancy around baseball to move these top guys. Like you mentioned Nate Pearson in the AFL last year. Couldn't throw a strike. He goes to Driveline for a few months. He comes in. He's painting with 103. You know, like, it just seems like all these top 100 guys are like pretty much sure things now, which is something that's never been seen in baseball. Like, before, there's always been that whole motto that prospects are just crap. It's a crapshoot, right? But seem that way anymore.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, with things like pitch design and with how intense and high tech these all of player dev is getting as a whole, as you said, there's kind of more control over build, like, quote unquote. I keep saying quote unquote. I'm on one today with that. But now I'm just overthinking about what I'm going to say. But it's player teams have more control over prospects developing. And then furthermore, besides that, kind of to your point about teams not being willing to kind of make big moves, Joe Sheehan's been beating this take into the ground on Twitter today, but I'm inclined to agree with him in that there's less of an incentive to make a playoff push when the bottom of the playoffs is a one game wild card playoff. Mm-hmm. It's not that you're going to have it's not an equal shot. It's a whole other round. It's a one game thing. Who knows what's going to happen in that game? It's not as safe of a bet to make a push for one of two wild card spots as it is to make a push for one of one wild card spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very fair. Like, yeah, speaking of the Reds, by the way, I'm just looking through Twitter. It seems like Taylor Trammell is the top name that if a Trevor Bauer trade does happen, it might include a guy like Trammell.
I agree. I think it makes sense to move him. Obviously, he's down, but he's one of those guys. Like, I think his floor is a competent major league outfielder. He's got the legs. His fielding tools all there. I like him as an outfielder. It's just looking at the Reds, they've kind of tied their cart to Jesse Winker in the sense that he's the guy. I think they're set on him being the guy. I don't see them moving Senzel back to second. They jerked him around for so long that I think at this point he's going to kind of hang out in center. And then with the middle, middle infield being a question for them, and how Jonathan India is not a part of trade talks right now, it seems, I could kind of see them kind of moving India to be the second baseman of the future. And then looking at Yasiel Puig, who right now, if the Reds broke camp next year, they would be missing a starting outfielder. And I think assumptions are that Trammell would compete for that spot, if not come up halfway through the year to kind of take over the reins there. Just knowing how Reds ownership works and knowing how this city has embraced Puig, I would not be surprised to see them extend Puig and kind of move forward with Puig, Senzel, and Winker as their future outfield. So right. It makes sense that they're trying to trade Trammell. And I mean, I know that back in spring training, there were talks about Trammell going for a Trevor Bauer type. So if I'm the Reds, I definitely trade Trammell. And if I'm a team that's kind of about ready, not this year, maybe not next year, but has a spot in the outfield, I would definitely take that chance. I'm still high on him, despite the fact that he's having a down year.
That's fair. And we talked about the Jays. We talked about your team. Treyway, you're a Red Sox fan. What's Boston doing? Like, what's the plan over there? It seems like they want, like, kind of like a low leverage arm for the bullpen.
Yeah, I think for Boston, I think the big thing for them right now is just getting bullpen help. I mean, just from anywhere you can find it. I've heard guys, you know, kind of unrealistically like Edwin Diaz get thrown around, which I think his asking price would be a little high, especially for what we can afford with our farm system. They're going to have to go after some lower level guys, I mean, just to try to shore up the bullpen. But I mean, at this point, like if we don't have a surefire closer, it's going to be really hard for us to win games in the postseason, just given, you know, the way baseball's moving. So they need a big name and then the back end of that bullpen, but I don't think they're going to be able to go get it.
Can I fancy you in a Daniel Hudson?
Honestly, anything is better than what we're running out there. I think our bullpen ERA, I'd have to look it back up. It was something like over a five or something over the last 2 months or something like that. I'd have to go back and find it, so that might not be completely accurate, but it's right around that ballpark.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like I'm just looking at the Red Sox farm system. Like your top 30 just kind of sucks, man. Like the only one who looks like Tristan Casas, I think, is going to be pretty dope. I still kind of like Jay Groom. I partially because I think his dad is dope. Based on, did you guys hear about what happened to Jay Groom's dad?
No.
They were arrested for like selling drugs or something like that.
Hell yeah.
He sounds like a ton of fun. He got arrested for like cocaine possession, and that's the best thing that's happened on the Red Sox farm in the past like 2 years. I thought that was dope, but it's just like I'm looking at the Red Sox farm system, and there's just no one left to move. Like I'm looking at Twitter, and I'm just seeing that the Red Sox really want a big name closer, or even a starter, and might have to be like they might have to move one of their best hitters. Like I've seen Benintendi get thrown out there.
I think a bit in Tinny for Dia straight up would be not that bad, just considering like the service time and all that. But I don't know. Even still, I don't think I'd be able to pull the trigger on that if I'm Dombrowski.
Yeah. I mean, this, we can kind of tie all everything we've talked about together now. Let's play armchair GM. How about Raisel Iglesias, Taylor Trammell, and a Tanner Roark, and then maybe another something or other for Benintendi. Bring him home.
I would have to say yes. If I'm,
not. I'm turned on right now.
If you gave me Trammell and Iglesias for Benintendi, and then you said Tanner Roark too, with the way our starting pitching's been, dude, I would. You guys are watching Deal or No Deal. I'd be smacking that button.
I do that. I do that all day. Yeah. I'm the Reds and the Red Sox.
Yeah, I do it.
While we're talking Red Sox system, I got to put in a plug and give a shout out to a former podcast guest of mine and former high school classmate of mine, Kyle Hart. He pitched at Indiana. He's in Triple A for the Red Sox right now. He's a guy, I don't think that he's definitely not a spicy name by any means, but he's improved every year through the minors so far. He's kind of older for a prospect. He's my age at 26. So he's definitely not like a blue chipper by any means, but I could see him contributing in the pen for the Red Sox. I mean, he doesn't have elite velo by any means, but he has a good pitch mix and he knows how to use them and where to use them. So
get people out. That's all we need.
Exactly.
Get someone out.
Bring them up, get them out.
We've blown more saves than probably the rest of Major League Baseball combined this year. It's been horrible. That's an exaggeration, but it's been bad.
Yeah, no, you guys, dude, like, I think you guys have the best offense in baseball.
Somehow. Oh, 110%.
The fact that your bullpen just sucks so much is just so painful. Like, I'm glad the Jays suck bad. Like, when we blow a 9-1 lead to the Rays, I'm like, okay, on to the next one. But if I'm you and I'm trying to get back to the playoffs, I'd be killing myself, dude. Like, dude, Boston's pen is really, really rough. Just for your sake, I hope something gets done. Here's a question for you guys. If something big is to happen over the next 24 hours, what do you think? What's a big trade that's just going to blow up Twitter? Danny, what do you got?
I'm calling Bauer to the Reds. It makes too much sense for everybody involved. The Indians can get back a mix of current major league contributors and prospects there. It makes sense for where the Indians are as an organization, where the Reds are as an organization. Sure. Send it to Bauer to the Reds for Taylor Trammell. And then a couple other pieces. I don't know who else right now. Maybe a Roark too. I don't know. If I'm the Reds, I throw Roark in there. It's not like he's going to be back next year. Might as well get rid of him and use him for something. That fills the spot for the Indians. That gives them somebody for the future, and that gives the Reds a second frontline starter for next year.
Dude, the Reds would be so much fun. Just the personalities on that team.
Oh my God. They already are,
yeah.
But like, I'm so that throwing that into the mix, especially with all the like just the gun show of Dietrich and Puig and Lorenzen, and then just having the ultimate dad bod there. I mean, sorry, the second ultimate dad bod to Bartolo Colon. Well, sign him too, and then just have like an Olympic decathlon of team muscle versus team dad.
That team's gonna be just full of douchebags by next year.
So,
oh yeah,
I've got it. I did some digging for you guys. You ready? The Red Sox have 4 relief arms that have blown 3 saves or more this year.
Ew.
Ryan Brazier's blown 3. Marcus Walden's, why he's even coming in the 9th, I don't know. Marcus Walden's blown 3. Brandon Workman's blown 4. And Matt Barnes is 4-for-10 in save opportunities.
Ugh.
4 saves, 6 blown.
Probably shouldn't have gotten rid of Joe Kelly. Oh wait.
Or Craig Kimbrell. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's funny how, like, if you guys got an Edwin Diaz, that would just be so funny because you weren't willing to bring back Kimbrell. And if you move, like, a Benintendi for a Diaz, that would just be so tragic for you guys.
Like, Ryan Brazier's given up 7 home runs out of the bullpen. Heath Hembray's given up 6. Marcus Walden's given up 5.
Dude, my beer league team can score off Boston's bullpen. And like, we're on a hot streak right now. We won 5 straight games.
Your beer league team or the Red Sox?
No, my beer league team is on a hot streak. We're on a hot streak, man. Like, we've scored at least 9 runs the past, like, 5 games. Like, we're lighting teams up right now. Like, this past week, he played against a team that had my high school prof, my high school teacher on it, and we lit him up.
Good.
Awesome. I think we won like 14-1. It was the greatest day of my life.
I'm proud of you.
Greatest day of my life. But so, Kane, like, what would the move? Do you think Boston makes a big move?
No, not a shot.
Not a shot?
Not a shot.
So what's the big move going to be?
For anybody?
What's a big move that you think is going to happen tomorrow? Like a prediction.
I bet Noah Syndergaard is a Padre. That's my bold prediction.
I hate that.
I hate that so much, too.
I just hate, like, it's impossible to hate the Padres, but I just hate the Padres, honestly. Like, I don't know. I mean, they have a ton of youth coming up, but it's just, like, it's annoying just the way they go about. Like, them and the Mets, it's, like, the kind of straddling the fence of all in or not all in.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It just – what would the Padres have to give up for a guy like Syndergaard, do you think?
Luis Urias.
I don't want to do that.
No, I wouldn't either.
He's lights out. That dude's nasty. I wouldn't give him up.
I mean, with the Mets being so weird about if they're – I think they are going for it is what I'm just going to assume, that they're trying to make a push. I mean, why not start the package with one of those guys that they've been shopping, like a Franmil Reyes or Hunter Renfroe, and then kind of go from there and just kind of – I mean, the system's so deep. They can kind of make a good offer and not necessarily have to dip into the very, very top.
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting because I could see the Mets completely overshooting on what they want for Syndergaard just because Van Wagen might have like zero feel in terms of like trades. But I could also see him just completely selling low, you know, just because he also doesn't know. So, I mean, I think it'll be interesting because Syndergaard, I mean, when he's healthy and when he's on is one of the best pitchers in baseball. But the problem is you don't see it enough. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
Okay.
Fair. So as August is about to start, we're going to have about a couple months left of the season. We're going to be wrapping this pot up in about 5 minutes. So let's do some hot takes for the end of the season. Like after what happens in the trade deadline, at the trade deadline, whatever is to happen, what team do you think is going to make a big push over the next 2 months? Like for me, that team is probably going to be the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are due to just take over the NL Central.
See,
I think Goldie's starting to pick it up. Osuna's about to come back. I think he's doing like a rehab stint right now in AAA. I think the Cardinals are going to pick it up and take that division. Like, who else do you see?
I mean, no one else is taking that division. The Reds sure as hell aren't. The Brewers aren't.
Are the Cubs?
No.
I mean,
the Brewers could, but I agree with you there. I think the Cardinals are due for it. And
go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, they've been heating up. They're going to be getting guys back. I think that they're going to make a big push.
Mm-hmm. Do you see anything with the Nats or the Phillies? Because they're kind of playing like kind of well lately. Like, do you see anything for those two teams?
I think the Phillies are toast. I think the Nats will make the playoffs. I don't know if it'll be a wild card or not, but I think the Phillies are toast.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a bit of a – it's playing favorites a bit. So I lived in Atlanta for 2 years and I got to see the very beginning of this team kind of come up to the majors and struggle through their first couple years, but they're just such a great team top to bottom. And with this whole trade deadline talk, we haven't even mentioned the Braves, who very well could be one of the more interesting teams there. It's like they have needs, they have some pieces they can trade. Like the Padres, they have a pretty deep system. I mean, they can pretty much outshoot anyone if they want to. It's just a matter of if they do or not. If I'm them, I go for it. The National League's fairly wide open this year.
Yeah, and the cool thing with the Braves is before the season even started, I think it was like last November even, I was doing a pod and Pete was still around. I was like, pencil in the Braves to win this year's World Series.
Oh, yeah.
My prediction last year. I'm just going to stick with it, but the cool thing with what the Braves got is they're really, really good right now, and they can make a push for it, but they just have so much talent coming up that they're going to be so good for you. Like with Pache coming up, with Drew Waters coming up, like that, if they decide to just stand pat and not move those two guys for something massive, imagine in 2 years when they have Waters, Acuna, and Pache in their outfield.
Uh-huh.
Nuts.
It's scary.
Dude, it's going to be nuts. Like, Soroka's in their rotation. Ian Anderson's going to eventually make it up there. Who's the Vandy kid? I keep forgetting. He's in
AAA. Shortstop?
No, not Dansby.
Not Dansby.
Pretty good. Who's the Vandy arm they just drafted a couple years ago? I think he broke Campbell's arm. I forget his name. Wright?
Yeah. Kyle Wright.
Kyle Wright. There you go. Like, he's going to be there soon. I think he's in AAA now because it kind of sucked when he made his debut. But, like, talent is there. I think this team is going to be so filthy for years to come. Like, I'm so excited for the Braves. They're awesome. I really hope they win.
They're my favorite team to watch. They're just so much fun. And, like they just have fun playing baseball, and they play baseball really, really well.
Dude, they're the sexy team in baseball. Like, with all that youth and all that talent. Like,
All that hair.
Like, they're kind of like the young version of the Houston Astros.
Agreed.
On steroids, because of how much talent and youth they have coming up.
So to jump back on your Cardinals point, I was pulling something up a second ago. So if you look at, like, the Cardinals, I think, you know, they can probably be the favorites to win the division at this point, just given, you know, the rest of the division and how up and down it's been all year. But yeah. when you think about their team, there's two things that you think about. Their offense's inability to play consistently. They get on hot spurts that just kind of fall apart. And part of that's just because of, you know, like, high strikeout rates across the board. And Goldschmidt didn't really start heating up till recently. He's going to be a big part of their push. But you think about right field for them right now. You know, you have Dexter Fowler and Jose Martinez, which are both – Jose Martinez can hit a little bit, but he's not a very good defender. And then you think about Dexter Fowler. I mean, that's kind of self-explanatory given how he's played the last couple of years. So they could use a guy, maybe like a Trey Mancini, to upgrade right field. I don't think it'd be very expensive. And then they could also use, you know, maybe a little bit of bullpen help. I mean, or a starter, you know, whichever way you decide to go. I mean, Jordan Hicks is out for the year, you know, and then their starters this year haven't really been able to get out of the fifth or sixth inning, you know, all that consistently. You know, like guys like Dakota Hudson and Jack Flaherty, like, they're, once they're getting the third time through the order, they're getting hit pretty hard. So, I mean, I don't know. I think for them, you either have to go a really big bullpen piece, or I'm not going to say really big, a good bullpen piece or a good starter, and then a right fielder. Like you have to have a right fielder, I think, if your offense is going to be able to compete night in and night out. And Mancini's having a really good year offensively, and not super unreliable in right field or anything like that. So I think that'd be a good cheap upgrade for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree, yeah. Dude. Well, on that note, we should probably wrap this one up. The Jays game just started, and Bo Bichette has a leadoff single. I'm so excited about this team, guys. I think the Jays are going to be so good in, like, 2050. I can't wait.
You think you guys are going to make the playoffs? You're only 27 and a half out of the division.
We're coming. Negative, like, 90 run differential.
That's pretty good. I mean, I was going to say I'm stoked to see the Jays do well in, like, 2050, but on my TV, the Democratic debates are tonight, so just, I don't think there's going to be a 2050. I think we should just enjoy the baseball, all of the baseball, while the world is still there.
I'm actually about to go turn that on. I'm glad you said that.
Oh, I'm just going to watch the Jays. I'm in Canada. I don't need that.
Yeah, you just get to sit there and laugh while we just burn our country to the ground.
Resubmitted, like, my thesis document. I'm not looking at politics. I'm going to watch some baseball.
Hell yeah.
I got a company I got to run, actually.
Oh, yeah. You go do that. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm retired. I'm loving it. Fucking loving it. I had sushi. I'm just doing writing. I'm going out for gelato. Like, my life's great right now.
Yeah. Oh, you know, what's your favorite enchilada?
I'll answer that next time. I'm gonna have to think about that. I got the Jays game on right now.
Look, you can't think about anything else while Vlad's thickness is right there in front of you.
I got the Jays game on. I'm so excited about this team, guys. You have no idea. Like, Vladdy, Bo, Biggio, Jansen, Nate Pearson throwing 105. It's all coming. Like, it's going to be soon. I can't fucking wait. As we wrap this one up, one last question, Danny. I think, are you a Leafs fan?
I am a massive Leafs fan.
Oh, why?
Because my whole family on my dad's side is from Toronto, and I grew up a huge Leafs fan because the Blue Jackets didn't exist until I was, I think like 8 or 9 or something like that. But I just grew up a huge Leafs fan. And always have been, always will be, for better or for worse.
Well,
a lot of better lately.
Dude, fun fact for you, I barely watch any hockey. I had no idea who the Columbus Blue Jackets were until you tweeted about it like a few months ago. I didn't know they even existed.
Wow.
Yeah, I said that in my grad lab to one of my supervisors, not my son, my other supervisor who actually watches hockey, and he just gives me this blank stare, like, I just can't wait till you defend your thesis and leave. So that's the plan. Got to get that done.
I've been fantasizing about the Leafs and Jackets making a big trade. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it could.
I mean, I have nothing to offer on that front. I know it's Austin Matthews is a Leaf.
And an American.
Yeah. Oh, that too. And I know that we have another Leaf who took my girlfriend's friend out to prom. That's all.
Who? That's Name names.
Travis Dermott.
Wow. Good boy.
Yeah, he's a good Canadian boy. Grew up a few minutes away from me. Mitch Marner actually grew up on my block, 2 minutes away from me.
See, you know hockey.
I know things, guys exist based on my environment, but would I go out of my way to watch them? No, I'd rather go watch high school kids play baseball.
That's true.
And anyways, let's wrap this one up. Danny, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
No problem, dude. What do you have going on?
Absolutely nothing. I just finished up a 6-week tour with Thrice. So the weird, cool thing with my job is when I'm not on the road, I have nothing to do. Actually, no, I do have something going on. I'm going to my first Sabre seminar next week. I'm real stoked about that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so trying to do the whole get a job thing. I love my job in music, but hey. I like bass and balls too. So doing the whole Sabre seminar thing, going to broaden my horizons, learn a thing or two, go to the Red Sox Angels game the day I get in, see Shohei Ohtani, hit some dingers.
There we go.
Yeah. Then until September 8th, that's all I'm doing. And then I'm going on 3 tours in a row from September 8th through November 20th. So that's going to be a time with Two Door Cinema Club, Jake Miller, and then Thrice again.
There we go. There you have it. Treyway, as always, been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Until next time, whenever that time may be, probably in 5 months knowing us. Until next time, guys.
See you in the future.